John chapter 4. Alrighty. We're going to start looking at, on Sunday evenings, and so pretty, looking at true worship. True worship. I've been asked many times, and it's one of the biggest topics that I'm asked about, and that is about what kind of quote-unquote worship do we have? And when they say worship, they're not talking about what the Bible is speaking of. What are they talking about? What kind of music program, usually? What kind of quote-unquote worship style do you have at your church? And I often will say, well, we try to keep it on the more conservative side. And that runs some people off, and that snuggles up other people, I guess you could say. You never know when you say something like that, whether to, pucker or to duck. You don't know. I don't know what's going to come. And you think about it, but it's a big issue with people today. If you know that, I'm sure you do. Several of you have testimonies of that, which you've actually had to, you've left the church over something like that. And you've looked for more of a conservative style, maybe that we have. But it's much more to that, much deeper than just a preference. And I want to clarify that. People say, oh, you prefer music or you prefer the hymns. And that is true to a point. But also, we're going to look at over the next few weeks that it's more than just a preference. We believe it is biblical in the way that we worship. Now, what is worship? Well, true worship. I didn't give you the verse, did I? Jump all the way down to verse 20. Verse 20, John 4. Now, again, you that know your Bibles, which I know everyone in here does, you know where we're going. And he's talking in particular to that woman, isn't he? Excuse me. Verse 20, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, remember, she's being very sarcastic. She's being very kind of rude about it, isn't she? Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, Jesus was not being rude or crude. He was stating facts. But the hour cometh, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father, oh, I like that, in spirit and in truth. For the Father, notice this, seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, later on, he'll tell her exactly who he is. In fact, the next couple verses say that, don't they? Now, tonight, we're going to look at this, and I hope it'll help you, and I know it's helped me as well. But true worship, what is worship? God created us to worship him, didn't he? He created us to worship him. We ought to be worshiping Christ with our lives on a daily basis. We ought to worship the Lord. And the Lord clarifies to us in this, really, just one portion of Scripture, but in many Scriptures on what it takes and what it means to worship. Now, as you recall what John saw as he got that great glimpse of glory, remember on the island? And he was secluded over there, which he was given the great revelation. And what's he say? He saw them and they were crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's true worship. They fell down at his feet. They were around the throne. And day and night, it says, they ceased not to cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what we think about. Many references in Scripture to this, what we call worship. What is worship? Worship of the true God is of vital importance to every believer. It obeys the command of God to worship him. We obey that. It meets a need of our hearts and pleases God ultimately. So God wants our worship. He wants it. He wants our worship before he wants our service. How many times have we served and not had the right heart? Oh, I do it all the time. And it's such a convicting thing. How many times do we go forward and serve and go forward and do something for the Lord? And it makes us feel good for a time, doesn't it? Oh, I feel good. I did something for the Lord. But where's our heart at? Is our heart a true heart of worship? Now, thinking through this, what is it? Well, there's several definitions out there. It is as natural to worship as it is to live, one theologian put. The feeling and expression of high adoration, reverence, trust, love, loyalty, dependence upon that higher power, that divine being. I have many here. I'll skip ahead, but there's something in us that desires to worship. We want to worship. I don't know what it is about humanity, but we want to worship something. You see it throughout the scriptures, but especially in the Old Testament. I mean, when they got out of Egypt, when they tucked tail and run, man, and they got out by the high hand of God, delivered them out, they couldn't help it. Moses was up in the mount. Remember the story? He's up in the mount. Joshua's there ministering to him. And they couldn't sit still. I mean, they were sitting down there twiddling their thumbs. What do we do? What do we do? We got to worship something. We got to worship something. And they built that golden calf, and Moses came down, and he was livid. And what did old Aaron say? Well, the people made me do it, you know. We got to worship something. And by the way, all of us do worship something. Now, we say we worship the Lord, we know that, but we all worship something. And the inevitable fact is we all worship materialism. We all worship money. We know it. We know it. As much as you say, I don't worship money, yes, go look in your garage. Go look in your shed. Go look in somewhere. We know we do. And we don't make it a god. We don't make it an idol as best we can. And when the Lord convicts us, I know every one of us in here, we say, Lord, help us and guide us. Put my heart back in place. But we worship. What is worship? Now, thinking through this, it is the reverence that we ought to show the Lord. It is an expression of profound reverence, doing homage to, making obeisance to, whether in order to express respect or to make supplication. Our English word here, it means reverence offered to a divine being, a supernatural power. It's the expression of all of that. It is the correct way to worship Him. Now, let me clarify a few things again, and you know this, I'm sure, but we choose and prefer to, and I keep using that word prefer, but we choose to worship our Lord the way the Bible says. We don't always do a good job at that. I don't. I know that. Now let's shift a little bit over to what people define worship as, and that's their music style and other things. I am so grateful for so many people that have stood for a lot of the conservative values that we hold to. I've had people often tell me, Pastor Tim, why don't you drop the name Baptist off the sign out there? And I say, no. Well, what's the big deal? I say, well, we got to have identification. And you may disagree with me on this, but I believe our Baptist forefathers paid a heavy price for that name. We know that. And you think about it, we identify. That's our identification, if you want to call it that. Also, with the music thing, we prefer not to have the band up here, the drums and the electric guitar and other things. Now, I believe there's some good godly people that do that. And I'm all for that. That's good. If that's your preference, if that's your style, then okay. But I don't believe for us it is. Now, I clarify this, and you again may disagree with me on that, and that's okay. We can still fellowship and worship together. But that is that I really do believe that it brings in a worldly style to the church. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think it does. It brings a little bit of a worldliness to the church. I just don't agree with some of those things. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to cover more of this here in the weeks ahead. But you understand where we are, and you're here tonight, and you're part of our church because of a part of that. Some of that is why you're here. You've been to churches. In fact, we have a couple in here that will testify to that. They've tried several churches, and they went to church after church, and they said, well, we just didn't like that type of worship. And they came to our church, and they said, well, you ain't the greatest singer in the world. I said, yeah, that's true, but we like it this style better. We think this is the better way to do it. Now, let's flip a little bit there, and I must get on the other side of the fence for a minute. Did you know that, about 100 years ago, they brought in the piano to the church? Maybe further back than that. And do you know it was a big no-no? You brought the piano into the church, right? Ms. Dawn, you probably know some of this. And you think, did you know when they brought the organ into the church, they called it the Mother Harlot? Did you know when they brought in any instrument? How many maybe remember the days, maybe you're not old enough, but maybe your grandparents or great-grandparents were in church, they sang all a cappella, didn't they? It was all a cappella. And most of it was the Psalms, right? Some of you know, you're shaking your heads, yeah. And you know that. Well, when they started bringing in instruments, your church is so liberal. You got an upright piano in the church, you're playing like the saloon. You're playing like the bar, right? But the progression of time happens, doesn't it? And that's what's happening today. So there is, some people will claim that as well. But you think about, things change over time. Progression happens, we know. I hate to use the word evolution, but it happens in a lot of areas of life. And so what is the correct object of our worship? Number two, again, hopefully laying some foundation as we're going to look in the coming weeks about what this is. But tonight, some foundational things. What is the correct object of our worship? Well, I don't need to state it, but I will anyways. You know, it's God Almighty. Exodus 20. Let's go there to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, you remember this is primarily the giving of the commands. Exodus 20. And look at this with me. He says it very clearly. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, he clarifies that over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. Why? Because they kept forgetting. And they ascribed, now watch this, they ascribed worship and praise and adoration to other gods. And you know what they said in their worship to that false, satanic, demonic god? We thank thee, O Baal, for delivering us out of bondage, didn't they? You remember that? We thank thee, O Ashtaroth, Almighty, Most High God, for delivering us out of... God knew what they were going to do, didn't he? Okay, verse 3, thou shalt have, what is it? No other gods, plural, before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, nor that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Three primary things that they would do. They would make images. Images out of the heavenly things, out of the earthly things, and the things that are under the water. Well, they had gods. They had the whale god, the fish god. You know, they had Jupiter, Mars, Venus. You remember when Paul went to one city? And they said, oh, we will now call you Jupiter, and you Mercurius or Mercury. He said, no, that's not how we do it. Let me show you the real God, okay? But he's clarifying to us here in these great Ten Commandments. And the first thing he says is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods, plural gods. Now, we looked at some of this earlier in the year as we go through and went through the book of Ephesians. But you remember the goddess of Ephesus. It was a great goddess, Diana. It was a filthy god, perverted god. I'll be careful because the kids are in tonight. Very sick, nasty, what they would do to worship that god. Why? So you would give us fruit of the womb. And that's what they said. Those were the gods that they served. Now, I don't need to clarify again of the gods he's speaking of. Joshua clarifies it later and he says what? If you want to serve those gods, go ahead. But as for me and my family, we're going to go ahead and serve him, the God. The God. On that great mount, up there, Mount Carmel, what does Elijah do? He calls down fire and it consumes the thing. And all the people cry out and they say what? The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. They say it twice. They wanted to clarify that God knew what they believed. Right? Why? Because all those people were contaminated in their hearts and minds with false worship. Okay, false worship. What's correct worship? It's the worship of God Almighty. We must not worship before images. You shouldn't do it. You know that. The imagery, images, all that we could go through and talk about that, but we must be careful about imagery. This is why they try to paint pictures of Jesus or God. Well, they're not doing it any justice, first of all, but we're not to do that, right? Now, you ever studied any of the Amish people or Mennonites and things? They don't have any images in their house, do they? No images on the wall. No pictures of grandmama, nobody. Now, this is great, 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 great grandmama here. No, they don't do it. Why? They take it directly from the scriptures. I wouldn't go that far, you know, although I don't like my picture up on the wall, but we might have that one day. If y'all want to get together and have a big picture on the hallway of Pastor Tim, you know, I'll do one of those Olin Mills one, you know. That would run people off, wouldn't it? No, don't shake your heads. Okay. I'm just saying the images. Okay, let me get past that. I'm getting rabbit trailed here. Okay, the worship. We must not worship angels. Oh, we already studied that Wednesday night. I won't belabor that point. Many people worship angels, don't they, today? They worship it. We must not worship men. We know that. Matthew 23, Jesus talks about don't worship, don't follow these men. These religious leaders, these entertainers is what they are. He says they go about, what do? They talk about themselves, but they don't lift so much as a finger do they? Oh, you ought to do this, and you ought to not do this on the Sabbath, and you ought to make sure that your wife is right. You ought to make sure your kids are clean. You know, and he's a extortioner. In fact, he's one of the guys that pulled out that adulterous woman and threw him in front of Jesus. He's one of those perverts. It's exactly what Jesus said, isn't it? You say, but don't do. And we must not worship. We must not worship people, friends, family, and especially self. How many people have a worship of themselves, a narcissistic mindset, if you want to say it? We must not worship things. 1 John 2:15. 1 John 2:15. Can you throw that verse up there, guys? 1 John 2:15. Love not the world. What's he say? Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, there it is. Good verse. Neither the things that are in the world. Very generic term, things, isn't it? What's he say? There's a lot of stuff we worship. There's a lot of love that we have in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We don't have it within us. We ought to have the correct worship. We must worship the Lord our God and him alone. Jesus saith unto them, or unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking directly to Satan. Satan failed in that, didn't he? He was a fallen angel. He was supposed to serve God Almighty. But he says in Isaiah 14, I will be like, synonymous, level ground with God. And anytime some bozo the clown gets around and gets on TV and says, I am Jesus Christ or I am God, you ought to follow me, turn that thing off and run as quick as you can. And you folks know that already. But it's true, isn't it? I mean, these guys on TV are crazy. These people all over the internet claiming to be some type of a Messiah, they're false, heretical, demonic people. And I don't have any shame saying that. We must not worship those things. We must not worship man. Psalm 95, verse 6, listen to this. Oh, come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Psalm 96, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness, fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, the Lord also that He, or shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. I like that. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. Say among the worldly people, the Lord reigns. He's my God. He's my Savior. And we know that. What is the proper conduct of worship? Well, He instructs us in His Word what exactly to do. He's made it, in fact, very simple for us today. Thank God we are not under the Old Testament law. Amen? Thank God. We do not have to bring sheep, lambs, goats. If you don't have enough, okay, a turtle dove or a pigeon or something, right? Thank goodness for that. We are not, He's made it very easy for us. What is it? Show up to church. Okay, one. Come, read your Bible, pray, have a pure heart, clean heart. God's made it so easy, and that's, I think, a lot of why our generation today is so lazy, isn't it? So lazy. We must meet certain criteria and understand it. And God wants intelligent worship from our hearts. This stems directly from the Word of God. God is holy. He requires holiness in His worshipers. We know that. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Exalt the Lord our God. Psalm 99. Worship at His footstool, His holy hill. For our God is holy. We must come before Him in holiness. He says, Jesus reiterates this, some people come forward to the altar. And what? They're not right with the Lord. What's he say? Get up from your worship. Go get right before you come back and worship me. We're just speaking things. We're just talking. Oh, how often do I do that? How often do we do that? We're not right where we should be before we worship. God is to be feared when we worship. We worship in the beauty of His holiness. Fear before Him all the earth, he says. All the earth. In Revelation 15, he goes on to say, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And again, very soon, I believe, we will all bow the knee to Jesus Christ, won't we? And we will all in unison sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Can you imagine that choir? By the way, you say, I got a terrible voice. That's okay. God's going to fix all that. We'll have a good voice, won't we? We'll have a good voice. And can you imagine that choir? A millions of people together in unity. You ever listen to a giant choir? Some of you heard like the Mormon Tabernacle. But there's some good choirs out there better than them. But I mean a lot of people. Hundreds of people together. And behold, he comes. You ever heard that? It's just beautiful, beautiful. And you think about it, one day we'll sing that. In great worship of our God, he's to be feared in worship. We're bowing before him. And every time in Scripture somebody came into confrontation with the Lord, in confrontation with an angel of some sort, of a supernatural being, they always fell on their face. Not one person in Scripture said, Lord, hey, what's up? How's it going? Glad you came. No, they all fell to the face in what? Fear. Fear. Just utter fear. We get scared when we hear the thunderstorms. We get scared sometimes when a giant hail comes down and falls on the earth. I mean, we get scared. Can you imagine that times 10? Oh, the Lord God, his voice alone says it thunders. And we think about, that's the reverence and that's the worship. God is truth. We are to be worshiped, or he is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, we will be there will be joy and happiness. The worship service is not a party. It is not for entertainment of the flesh. I want to clarify that. Because worship today is entertainment. It's all entertainment. Who can sing the best? Who can belt it out? You know, who can do this the best? It's a big party. It's a big atmosphere. Again, just to clarify, when Moses and Josh came down off the mountain, what did they say? Joshua said, Moses, I think that they're having a war. I think that there's war in the camp. Maybe one of the armies came in and Moses said, they're having a party. But he's noticed that very similar sound of war and of what they sell, worship. No, we think about it. We are to worship him. It's not entertainment. It's not trying to beat others out of a position in the church or in the job, whatever it is. We must serve him. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, be ye not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on to say, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God for that. Because some of us don't sing very well. It's in the heart. We make a joyful noise. But he says, make sure the heart is where it is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God requires it. Let me say, secondly, God requires it not only personally, but he requires it publicly. God requires a public assembly for worship. As you know, the Bible, Hebrews 10:24. In fact, let's just turn over there, Hebrews 10 and verse 24, to remind us of what he says. Hebrews 10, all the way back there towards the back of your Bible, Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What's he say? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Then he says, as the manner of some is, we ought to take a look at that. Well, their church isn't. They don't do that. No. The matter of some is. You focus on you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. You know what that ekklesia is, that Greek word of the church? It's the called out assembly of believers. It's not unsaved people gathered together. It's the believers that are gathered together. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. This is very clear. As you see the day approaching, we ought to be provoking each other to love and good works, but also be assembling ourselves together. And where you're going to provoke each other the most is in church. We provoke each other a lot in church, don't we? Maybe in the wrong way. Provoking each other to love and good works. That's where it's going to happen, is within the church. The church is very important, and I get so ticked and perturbed and irritated with people when they put the church down. I don't know about you. They just mock the church. They don't say it publicly. They show it by their laziness toward the church. They show it by their apathy towards the church. Church attendance, giving towards the church, loving, taking care of the church. Three people do all the work. Take care of the church. Clean the church. Maintenance the church. Do the things for the... And that's how it is with most churches. You think about it, they forsake the church. They forsake the assembling of themselves together where our primary worship is conducted within the walls of the church. You remember back as a child, some of your sweetest memories, I hope, were within the church, sitting next to mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa listening to these old hymns, listening to the preacher wax eloquent for a long time, and your father couldn't stay awake. Those are some good memories, aren't they? And you worship the Lord, and you got to listen to the Word of God preached. And it's so fascinating to me that they grow up and they deny God and get away from God, but then trouble comes in their lives, and where's the first place they go? They come all the way back to the church. Praise God for that, by the way. Or they come back to the pastor, or to a godly mama, a godly daddy, grandparent, whoever it is. They know where the truth is, don't they? They know where to go. And it fascinates me, the people that call me from time to time. I need help. Now, thinking about the worship, God requires worship in our lives. God deserves, let me say under this point, our very best. We do not offer God whatever we prefer and decide to give Him. We must consider, listen, His preferences. And as soon as we get that in our little heads and our hearts, let's just do it God's way. Well, God, I think we would do better if when He says, well, no, that's my preference. But it doesn't make sense, but it's my preference. Oh, okay. Just do it God's way. And we wouldn't be so messed up, some churches, some pastors, and some lay people. We do it God's way. What's His preference? Boy, that'd be a great way to preface your prayers and start your prayers out. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to pray? I heard one old man, real old guy, I think he was 90-something. He gave a testimony, and I watched it. It was real good. He said, you know, I prayed for years and years as a young man. I prayed God to use me, guide me, and help me, and I'd give him a whole list of prayer requests. And he says, as I gotten older, as a real old man, recently I just prayed one simple thing. He said, Lord, just use me. Just use me. However you want to use me. Whatever you want to do, just do it. I don't know if you agree with that, but I thought about, man, that's pretty good. He came to the conclusion that God's going to do His thing. Let's just get on board with it. God's going to go ahead and do it His way. Let's just find out what His preference is, and let's do it His way. I believe God deserves our very best in His house. I truly believe that. I really believe that. Oh, I have many, many verses. Let me keep going here. He deserves our very best. I believe He deserves our very best clothing, very best clothes. I know some people don't have a lot of money. They can't dress maybe something, but I think He really does, don't you? Just the best. How can we dress the best for the Lord? How can we serve Him the best? I believe He deserves the very best behavior. I'm talking about as we worship, very best behavior. He deserves our very best music. We're going to talk about that. Deserves our very best handling of the Word of God. And again, studying those things, okay? Let me get to my last point here, and we'll be done in about 45 minutes. What hinders true worship? You know that's not true, don't you? What hinders true worship? Well, let's look at a few things here. Number one is self-will. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer. He put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord. Notice, which He commanded them not. He didn't command them to do that. Do you know you and I do a lot of things that God didn't even command us to do? Didn't even tell us to do. And we get so worried and we get so pent up and we get so anxious. Oh, I got to do this. So I got to do it. And God said, I didn't even tell you to do that. I didn't even want you to do that. You know what that comes back to? Not true worship. I didn't seek the Lord. But notice, and there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And it says, lastly, and Aaron held his peace. He just watched his own family die. Can you imagine that? Now, thank God we're not in that age right now where God just drops fire down. I believe it's going to come real soon, but not right now. What hinders true worship? Self-will. I'll go ahead and do it my way. I'll go ahead and follow it my way. No, sir, you're not. You're going to follow it God's way. No, ma'am, I know you prefer to sing this and do it this way. You're going to do it God's way. We're going to find out what God wants us to do. And I know we can be a little dull and boring. I know that. But we can try and seek the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? Self-will, laziness, a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little. You ever tell your kids, I'm just resting my eyes. I'm just resting. No, you're sleeping, aren't you? No, I'm not. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I think of worldliness. Worldliness is another one. Truly hinders us. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Communion hath light with darkness. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? I think a lot of people confuse the church and they think the church is for unsaved people. It's not. We invite unsaved people. We reach unsaved people. The church is for saved people. Okay? It's for us. Christ loves the church and died for the church. The called out assembly of believers. That's what it is. And we go forth and we reach those. But he says, have nothing to do. Don't be yoked together. Worldliness coming into the church, seeping in the doors of the church. It will soon come to a demise. Critical, unforgiving spirit within the church. That hinders true worship. Ephesians 4:29. Let me read these and we'll wrap it up here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. It may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speakings be put away from you. All malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't that true? A corruption out of our mouths that hinders the Holy Spirit's work, and we come to worship before him and he says, I'll have nothing to do with it. I don't want none of that. In fact, he tells that last church in the book of Revelation, that great church of Laodicea, it was a wealthy church. It was a big church. It was a mega church. It had everything. And what did they say? They lifted up their head to heaven and folded their arms and said, we have no needs. Wonder what their prayer life was like or their prayer meeting. Got any needs? That's what we do sometimes. Let's pray. Forgot what we should pray for. But they're a church that literally had no problems, didn't they? No prayer requests. We're good. You have any prayer? No, we're good. We're good. We got nothing. We don't need it. And what's Jesus say? I'll spew you. I'll vomit you. I'll puke you out of my mouth because it makes me sick. Isn't it? Just sickening to me that you would try and worship. Today, I believe many people worship a false God. I truly believe people worship a God they call Jesus, but is not the right God. I really believe that. And you deal with people all the time, I'm sure, in your workplace and family. Oh, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But they don't follow this book, do they? You know they're serving the wrong God. They claim to be saved, but there's no fruit. There's no evidence in their lives. You know they're not following this book. And we're going to see it very soon in the end time when all things will be made right. And that great Antichrist will stand up and he will speak as God. And he will sound as God. And he will even look as God. And people go, it's got to be the Messiah. And they don't know the book, do they? Those of you that know this book, you know things aren't going to get better. They're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. We're preparing. We're ready. You think about pride is another one. What's hindering our worship today? Again, have you been born again? Have you been saved? That's the first step. Is it that you are saved but have allowed disobedience to come between you and your God? Just like old Nadab and Abihu? Is there no joy in your worship? Where'd the joy go? Remember when you used to worship God with joy? What happened to that? What happened to those days? When your heart tingled, when you sang those songs, nothing but the blood of Jesus, what can wash away my sin? And that tear welled up in your eyes. No longer does it do that. He loved me first. He gave himself for me. I'm the one to blame. I caused all his pain. I love that song if you've ever heard it. And you had that well up, you had that tingle inside. And I know some of us aren't very emotional people, but it ought to pull at our heartstrings when we worship the Lord. And oh, friends, again, you know I'm preaching to myself. We need salvation. Some of you do. But do you need cleansing? Do you need cleansing? Are you where you should be? This dear woman at the well came to Jesus in a very sarcastic way, in a very kind of rude way, began to say to Jesus, "Why would you have anything to do with me? Why are you even talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm not." Before Jesus even said anything, did he? And he explained to her. She said, "Well, we worship." He said, No, let me tell you what you need to worship. You worship the true God. You worship him. By the way, he sent that very lady back into her village to testify. And as many of our African-American churches, as the man is preaching, he'll often say, "Can I get a witness? Can I get a testify? Can I testify?" She went back and testified of all that Jesus did for her. And by the way, they didn't treat her very well. She'd had many husbands, several husbands. They didn't treat her very well, did they? But he said, "Go back. Lord, that's embarrassing. Go back. I don't want to, Lord. They know me. They know me. But I'll do it for you, Lord. I'll do it for you. I want to be inhabited, not inhibited. I want you to use me, fill me, guide me." True worship. We'll look at this, and I thank you for listening tonight so well. I hope and pray that you have true worship in your own home, and true worship, obviously, in the house of God. We're going to study some of this and look at it, and different avenues of it, different areas, and understanding why we worship the way we do, primarily here in our church, but also how we can better worship the Lord in the days ahead. All right? Anyways, thank you for listening so well. Kids, you did so well. Thank you for listening, didn't they? And you big kids too, all of you adults. Okay. And Lord, we do thank you for this evening again, for this time. And I know everyone in here has a very busy week ahead of them. I'm grateful for all of them. Lord, these people work tirelessly day in and day out. They're good, godly people that love you. They stand up for the truth. They stand up for your name when coworkers and friends begin to put you down or say something vulgar. I thank you for that. I pray for them. I pray for our children. I thank you for them, listening so well, being well behaved here. And I thank and I praise you. Help us, Lord, to praise you correctly, worship you correctly. Help us in our personal life throughout this week ahead. And Lord, we never know, this could be our last week on earth. We ask and pray that that week would be one that brings glory to you. Forgive us of where we failed you individually and corporately as a church. And strengthen us, Lord. We love you. Thank you for another day in your house. Guide us now in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.